everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. Back with you. After the gracious doing by my assistants here, Julian Joiello. Hey, Julian. Nice
hey
job.
There.
That was good. That was
glad
very
to
good.
Have you back, Armand.
Yeah, listen. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And then while I was away, someone asked me a question about how does it all happen? And I answered the question, and I realized I've never answered that question on air. So today I'm going to talk to you about how and why we create our specific life dramas and our life stories. There are stories that are created for us. If you're born and you have an accident, or if something happens to you, or if you're in a bad country and stuff like that, stuff forms your life. And then there's stuff that we create afterwards. So you may have been born into bad situations, but then afterwards you recreate and you add to the bad situation or good situation. But why do we create specific things? I'm going to talk to you about this today, and you're going to see it's less psychological than it is physical, but it's fascinating. And this is what I've learned after all the years that I've been around. Because someone at a table said to me, so what did you learn? It was my birthday. And this is a story I told them. As we're going to go along, I'll tell you. Because a lot of it takes place while you're sleeping, my friends. Let's consider this. Consider energy, and let's consider the energy in your mind. Now, in your mind, you have a lot of different places for energy because the brain is an amazingly electrical device. It fires. It has neurotransmitters. It has hormones. It has all these things going on, making the activity of your brain. The activity of your brain focuses in one particular area where there is high energy, and that's called the amygdala. Now, the amygdala is a very important thing because the amygdala was given to us and all animals as a way of detecting danger. The rule of life, eat and don't get eaten. Stay alive, right? And don't let anybody hurt you. The amygdala is the part of the brain that warns you. Now, certain people have more energy around that area, and this is a simplification, but they have certain energy around that area more than other people. For example, if you were born in Jamaica, how active do you think your brain is worrying about, am I going to get hurt, or do I have to get something? Jamaica's an easy place. Jamaica is an easy town. Isn't in Jamaica the less suicide?
Yeah, there's actually zero.
Zero suicide rate. Maybe somebody may have killed themselves, but zero suicide.
Not enough to be recorded. It's just sort of
right.
Not happening there.
Nobody kills themselves there. However, go to Greenland, and it has the highest suicide rate. So what are we saying? What's your mind like if you're in Greenland, as opposed to what's your mind like if you're in Jamaica? Well, let's consider it a little further. Think about China. How active is the average mind in China? You've been to China, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was just in China, and it's an extremely fast place. I mean, everything is done to be more efficient, more practical. Everything you do is useful. And in turn, you have a very active mind.
Very active.
In China, yeah.
So very active mind, as opposed to Jamaican, not so active mind. Right? Okay. In fact, one might say, the sunnier it is, the less active your mind is. Which makes sense. Because part of the reason that we survived, our planet survived, is because of a migration. There was a migration from Africa originally to go up through Asia, through Europe, up north, because we learned how to preserve food. Because we learned that you could preserve food in colder weather, we were able to push up there and live longer. So our world evolved around this thinking, being able to think about survival. The more north you go, the more active your brain, it seems. Think about Germany. Germany's not an active brain, but a very succinct brain. It's active, but it's very clear. Line up the ducks. Or Holland. May I say hello to Dane Brosie and Vika Levina, who are joining us today. Very clear, very direct. Even think about San Francisco. How's the mind in San Francisco where I was? Boy, what easy minds those are. They're kind of slipping and sliding and taking it easy. Now, why do I mention all this? I mention this for you to imagine that there was some kind of device that could measure the electrical activity of your brain. Of course, there is such a device, and it just sees how much buzzing is going on. According to where you come from, the more activity there's going to be or the less activity is going to be. So if you're from Jamaica, you're going to have a less active mind in general. And if you're from China, you're going to have a more active mind. Right? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Okay, so. So neural activity is very important, and it's the basis of you understanding this thing I'm going to propose to you. If your mind is active, and if you're a type of person who has a very active, worrisome mind, then you got a lot on your mind. You got to solve this somehow. When you go to sleep at night, that's when the attempt at finding balance comes in. Sleep is supposed to restore you. How does it do it? What is it supposed to do? Knock you out? No. It's supposed to find some balance for that electrical energy. So let's say you go to bed, you're feeling fairly good, and you fall asleep. And you're an average person with a very active mind. Your mind is now very, very active. And you go to sleep, and now you're sleeping, and you start having a dream. You don't really have a dream. The first thing you have is activity. Suddenly the brain goes buzzing along. It doesn't know why. When your brain, when your amygdala gets active, the very first thing the brain says is, hey, we're thinking fast, or our mind is going fast. There must be danger. The first thing your mind does when it senses neural activity is say, where's the danger? So you look for the danger, and you say, well, the danger is my husband's not home yet. I wonder what he's doing. He could be laying right there. See, but your brain now is going to look for a reason that you're nervous. It's not that you got nervous because he's not there, but you found a reason to be nervous. And what happens is the more nervous you are while you're sleeping, the more you create these stories. And the idea of the story is to find the exact balance so that it will exhaust the amount of energy. Now, I know this doesn't make sense yet, but I'm going to try to make it make sense. If you have 50 pounds of electrical energy, and you could make a 50-pound depressing dream, you'll fall asleep. See? If you have 50 pounds of electrical energy, but you come up with, I wonder if the cat needs new litter, it's not enough. It'll still keep you active. So the brain goes to create a story that you're going to find a balance for the energy for which you're going to find the energy of there into. And we create the story. Now, the funny thing is, once we create the story, we believe that since the story made us feel in balance, jealousy. I hate that woman. I can't stand the way she looks at my husband, right? And since it makes you feel like you're in balance, you validate it as a real story.
So these stories they start off as real or
they
not?
Start off as a figment attempt to balance the electrical charge. And then you believe it. Then you say, since it worked, it must be real. and people validate their emotions that way and their thinking that way, and they say, you know, I got to move. Well, let's say you're a woman and you have your period, and you don't like the place where you're living. A common thing that happens with women in menstrual cycles. I can't stand where I'm living. I gotta move. And you say to your mate, we have to move. Because in your mind, you have this, all of these hormones going on, neural activity, and you invent this thing, and the thought of moving sends you into some kind of equilibrium with the amount of energy. Then the hormones pass. Now you're back to normal, and your husband says, I found a place for us to move. You say, what are you doing moving? I don't want to move. I want to stay in my house. So the neural activity dictates the story. The story finds the equilibrium with the neural activity. It could be persecutory. You could say somebody wants to hurt me. It could be any number of things, a quest. Could be a job. You could wanting to be an actor. You have to be a success. Whatever it is, every story out there is based on some imbalance of the neural activity. Imbalance doesn't mean wrong. Because remember, if you're in Jamaica, you have a different imbalance than if you're in China. In China, there's a lot more to worry about. That's why the Enneagram is so valuable. It tells you about certain types of people that have much more activity, the sixes and the fives. They think a lot more. So they're trying to find balance by always trying to search for answers and search for answers and search for answers.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The Enneagram has 9 types. So, I mean, what type could we put on China, for example?
Well, for example, the 9 types. The first type is the organizer. The first type is the perfectionist.
Right.
You have neural activity. Your brain is going a little crazy. You want to count the numbers. 1, 2, 3. You're forcing your neural activity into some kind of balance by being a perfectionist.
Right, giving it that order.
That's right. So as long as I have order, I'm in balance. Whereas a 2, a giver, your neural activity is there, and the way you find the balance is you give to somebody. You give of yourself. You give of yourself, and you find that you're getting rid of your energy by giving it out to somebody else.
Right. I have a large part of 2 in myself, and if I find myself not giving, I feel weird.
I feel like something's wrong.
Off kilter, yeah.
Or then there's the 3, which is the person who is the image-driven person. You have this neural activity, and you're always concerned about how people perceive you and the job you're doing, and you worry about them. So when you have enough worry, you feel in balance. The 4 is the romantic, and the romantic gets deeply involved in romantic incidents. And it says, oh, it's all about love. It's all about love. It's he does that and she does this. And that's their way. They get involved in these tragic love stories because of the nature of their electrical imbalance. And imbalance doesn't mean wrong because we all have a different imbalance. And by the way, we're taking telephone calls today. We have a new phone number. Let's hope this one's going to work. Our telephone number is 212-757-3555.
212-757-3555.
Get that
number.
Get that number. You can't
Call
imagine
it.
What we did to get that number in here.
Yeah, we've had our phone lines down for a couple weeks. It's been hard, but we've been wanting those phone calls, and we are already getting some, actually.
Yeah, actually, here they come, 757-3555. So, just to finish this, we'll take a call. Just to finish this, the stories that we make up are just stories. And the stories, when they get repeated to finding a way of dealing with your imbalance, when you have too much activity and you worry, and then the worry finds a balance, a homeostasis, that becomes, you perceive it as real. This is the real issue of my life. The real issue of my life is I have to find my relationship to God. Now, that sounds so real, doesn't it? But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a way of finding the balance. Let's say hello to John in New Jersey.
Yes, hello, Norman.
Hi, John. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, great subject. I like when you discuss this. You described the personality and you discussed them at length. I've heard you do this before. When I feel out of sorts, I would always rely on my Tai Chi to get me back in balance. And recently, I haven't even been motivated to do that. And I was wondering what the hell could be causing that.
Wait, I'm sorry. What do you do?
Tai Chi Chuan.
Okay, you do Tai Chi. Okay.
Yeah. And I've been doing it for over 40 years. And lately, I've just been absolutely uncaring about doing it. And I was wondering what it could be that's causing me to be.
It doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work
anymore because the energy has shifted. Now you got older.
Right.
When you get older, the nature of the energy shifts. So that which would have worked, like I was thinking the other day, I used to love great red wine. I knew every wine there. The other day I was with some people and I tasted some wines worth thousands of dollars. And I realized it just tasted like wine.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, oh, that part of me passed. That part of me that got that has gone.
Could it be that so many important issues came up with so many losses and so forth might have knocked me off my center? Are you saying I just grew out of it?
I'm saying both. Both. Now, did something happen to you that was big?
I had loss of family members, three together.
Oh, that'll shift everything.
Yeah,
your brain, the inside of your brain, takes that and puts it on as a new danger, where Tai Chi's not going to work for it.
And I know about the eight-angle trigram and the two pitches and all that and the danger around us.
That's right.
That I'm aware of, all the whole knowledge of it I'm all aware of. But
let me ask you something, John.
I'm sorry?
Have you cried?
You know what? I was discussing that with a counselor yesterday.
I know.
I haven't really had a good cry in a real long time.
Okay, now think about this for a minute.
Yeah.
If you had to reach to the bottom of this pain, could you find it inside you? Could you find the location of it? Could you imagine a location of it? Just imagine it. Don't do anything, but just could you imagine it?
Well, I believe so, yeah.
And you would, if you were to imagine it, what you'd do is think about the death of three people. Is that it?
Yeah, I would have to. And the work
Wait. What would you think of?
I would, of course, think of my shortcomings.
Before you go to your shortcomings, you see? Now, the shortcomings are an attempt to balance the pain.
Right.
So let's go to the pain first. If you would have
I went through some periods of that, Armand. I went through short periods of that, but never let myself
Could you stick with me on this?
Sure.
Tell me about the pain. Who died?
My mother and my godmother aunt. Godmother aunt and my sister.
Wow.
Yeah, terrible.
Stay there a minute now. Stay there. You're like a kid who's lost. You imagine yourself like a little kid who's lost in the middle of a street and it's raining. And there's nobody there. Can you picture that?
Yeah, it's very painful.
Very painful. In this spot, John, where you are, you have a choice to feel the pain or to move away from the pain. The way you move away from the pain is you depress yourself. You beat yourself up. You criticize yourself. By doing that, you could erase the pain. So by being a self-flagellator like you are, by being somebody who criticizes himself or feels guilty or shame, you keep yourself away from the pain.
Yeah, I see it.
You see it?
Yeah.
If instead...
What do I do to change, Mama?
Spend the time with somebody you trust one time who you could trust to take you through it. Because you can't go through it alone. It's very hard. Your defenses are much too strong.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. Call up my office. I'll find you somebody.
All right. Thank you, Omar.
Okay,
thank
John. Right. That's a very good example of it. It's a good example of what happens. The story gets followed. You see, the incident brought up a lot of pain. The pain was followed by a story, which was his criticism of himself. See? And he was criticizing himself, and the criticizing himself, even though it sounded like the wrong thing to do, it was the perfect thing to do because it kept him in balance. And that's what we're trying to do. Our dramas are an attempt to stay in balance. Let's take another call. Carol, 212-757-3555 is our number. Carol, you're on the air. This is Armando.
How are you?
Good.
I tuned in a bit late, and I heard you talking about Jamaica and the sunshine.
Yes, I talked about Jamaica and the sunshine.
I'm from Jamaica.
I can tell.
But Armand, I've phoned to you a couple of times.
Yeah.
Where do I fall on the Enneagram, you think? What number do you think?
9.
I'm the 9, and the 9 is who?
The 9 is the one who prefers to never have fights. Who doesn't like anger, who likes to put out the fights, who is known as somebody who tries to calm people down.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound like?
That sounds like me. Is it the activist, the conscious activist?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
I'm losing your voice, Carol.
Hello?
Yes, there you are.
Okay.
You
are. So like the activist? Because yeah. I know I'm...
That's right.
I know I have a lot of... activism.
Now, why do you ask the question?
Because...
You're confused by yourself.
Yes. I feel like I'm on the cusp of a great big change in my life. I don't know what it is, but I can feel it. I'm afraid. I know what I don't want to be doing, but I'm not sure what it is I want to be doing.
Isn't that perfect? Now, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about, Carol. Because your brain no longer... wants to use the old mechanisms.
Right.
It doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work.
That's the beauty of maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity is sorting out the things that don't work.
Don't work anymore.
So now the next thing is, I wonder what's going to happen next.
What's going to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
So you may be about to enter a really free-spirited world where using these old mechanisms is no longer necessary. I'll tell you one that I know for you.
Yeah.
Stop making peace. Let people fight.
You know what, Armand? It's so funny you say that because I find now, I'm 55. I've never been in a fight. Growing up, never been. But I find now that I will. I feel like I want to fight.
Good for you.
I'm getting angry. I feel like I would fight. It's so funny to me. You know, because I've always been a peacemaker, don't rock the boat. Yeah, but I feel now that I'll fight.
Well, maybe some Tai Chi like may not
anger.
Be... How about you take a kickboxing class?
Kickboxing.
How about you do something like that? Do something aggressive just to see what it feels like.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, something like an aggressive
total
thing.
Total opposite of what I've always...
Exactly done. The opposite.
I heard... something you said last week, you're just doing something different. I've started going down the stairs back.
Ah, good for you.
And going up the stairs up, you know.
How does that feel?
It feels good.
I know.
It really does.
I've
started doing the practicing that Armand, and it really does make you feel different. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Thank you so much.
It's my
you
pleasure,
me
Carol.
So much. Thank you.
Sure, Carol.
Okay, bye.
Even putting your socks on differently. You know, if you just switch the rhythm. Telephone number here is 212-757-3555. A new phone number, one easy to remember. 212-757-3555. We're looking for how the mind finds the story that it finds and why it latches on. So both John and Carol present to us a story. And in each case, they tell you it used to work, but it doesn't work anymore. So people think what I should do is go back to the way I used to be. You know, I'll go back to the way I used to be and that'll make it work. No, the old stuff doesn't work. That's why sometimes if you break up a romance, the romance doesn't work when you go back to it. Because back then it worked, but now it's empty. We're going to take one more call and then we're going to have to go to a break. Jennifer, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello, Jennifer. Nice to have you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
I can.
I
want to make sure I have the radio off.
Vika, are you listening? Yes, go ahead.
So I think this is a really interesting topic, and I love everything you talk about, by the way. I came from trauma as a child and married an alcoholic. And I feel like this sort of fits into some of the things I've learned through I'm in an anonymous program for people who are affected by another disease of alcoholism and addiction. And this fits the puzzle for me in the sense of coming from trauma and then looking for, subconsciously, of course, finding someone who can allow me to continue the story, continue the trauma, feel the feelings, but be able to subconsciously put all of the effort and energy on his stuff and the blame on his stuff, as opposed to being able to see that it's my own stuff as well.
And, you know, it may not even be your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just may be, it's an attempt mm-hmm. to kind of find the balance. You know, you're trying to, it's just not all they're doing. It's not all they're doing. It's like we come up, we wake up, we get active. My brain is going in a mile a minute, right? And I'm going to say, what am I going to worry about? What am I going to deal with? And you pick the perfect object that will occupy your time enough so that you could find a balance. And the balance is not good. Yes, the balance could be the wrong balance.
Right.
It's all right as long as it's a balance. As long as there's an equilibrium of some sort,
right?
Then the body will permit it.
So it's like taking the energy that you have and putting it somewhere to balance things out, or
it's taking the energy you have and finding something that you could plug it into,
right?
So that then you could have the engine running.
Right. So in my 20s, I pursued academia, and
I was in
law school and pursued those kinds of things, and at that point, that's where I put the energy.
That's right.
And then in my 30s, I marry someone with the... And by the way, he's sober and thriving, so we're of the lucky ones, I feel, today at a time. But I have three children. So,
right, and then you put the energy into the children. Then you put energy into grandchildren. Part of the reason people love grandchildren is because as you get older, you have no place to put your energy. Nobody wants you around anymore. You don't go dancing anymore. So you look at these little kids, and you say, I'll absorb their energy. And you get this kind of exchange between the little kids and the grandparents. The grandparents, they need the children. We have to be going. Jennifer, thank you very much for calling in.
I really appreciate you and the guys. They're so smart.
Aren't they great?
They're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Great. We'll be back with you in a little bit, my friends. I think I'm going to have to play you a little music from up north there where it snows. Here we go. Take a listen to this.
Join us on the evening of Saturday, March 28th at the Riverside Theater in Manhattan for a public tribute to WBAI's Robert Knight. We will celebrate Robert's life and 35 years of international investigative journalism with live music, colleagues, and friends, including Kathy Davis, Randy Credico, Dennis Bernstein, Margaret Kunstler, Elaine Barrett, David Amram, Terry Waldo, Roy Jennings, and a surprise guest. The Riverside Theater is located inside Riverside Church at 91 Claremont Avenue and West 120th Street. The reception starts at 6:30 p.m. The program starts at 7. Admission is free.
The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings.
this is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Do you know who I'm listening to here on the air? Do you know whose music this is? This is the music of an old friend from many years ago, who I think may be on the phone. And who is this that's calling? This is Armand DeMille.
Yeah, hi, my name is Callie.
Callie, do you recognize the music that you're listening to?
You know, I don't.
It's music, by a man named Callie.
Oh, is it?
I played
Callie
it for
who?
You, right?
What's his last name?
He doesn't have a last name. It was just...
It's just Callie. Okay. R. Kelly.
Nope.
Not R. Kelly, but just Callie?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great.
So that was for you.
Tell me about you. I've recorded music. A long time ago. I made a demonstration tape in a recording studio.
How do you spell your name?
K-E-L-L-Y.
Okay, Kelly. Oh, that's it. So we're almost there. Ours was Callie, K-A-L-I.
No.
So, Kelly, let me ask you something.
You go. I guess Julian misheard what I said.
No, well, maybe we all heard and we had to get Callie on the air, which is great.
I know a song about my name. Okay, yeah. You want to hear a song about my name?
Yes.
Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-E-L-L-Y. It's an Irish thing, right?
Thank you very much. Kelly, let me ask you something.
Okay, there's that in me.
And let me ask you a question.
My mother played all those Irish records when I was a kid growing up on her Shellac 78 records.
Yeah.
You know, like Shillelagh Records, whatever they're called.
So, Kelly.
But, yeah, so.
What could I do for you?
Right, well, I've spoken to you many times before. I don't know if you recognize my voice. I've talked to you five times. I'll explain that I've led a very, very, very strange, unusual, bizarre life my whole life, since I was conceived. And, I've never related any of this to you in the past before, but I've been living with a diagnosis of some kind of mental illness for over 43 years. For over 43 years, I have been dealing with psychiatrists, psychologists, hospital service technicians.
Okay, Kelly, so let me ask you something. What can I help you with?
Right. Well, you were talking about balance, right? We were talking about balance. I never figured out my Enneagram because I have bipolar disorder. That's my current diagnosis.
Oh, well, you see, now let me take you there for a minute, okay? Because we would take a long time to be, you and I should probably be in person talking about this. But you see, now when you have this kind of thing, and I know a lot of people that have these mixed diagnoses, again, let's say what happens. When your energy is at a certain level, when your mental activity is at a certain level, your brain looks for the best way to handle it. Mania is one way to handle it. Depression is another way to handle it. It's all an attempt to find the balance. Schizophrenia is another way of handling it. Neurosis is another way. Love is another way of doing it. Achievement is another way of doing it. It's all an attempt to find the balance for that which feels out of balance in the mind. And you're one of those people who have differential diagnosis, meaning you have a number of different ways that you attempt to do it. And that's part of it. It's difficult because the mental health profession has no idea how to really identify it, because they're looking for causative factors. They're looking for chemical imbalance. They're looking for this. They're looking for that. The main thing is there are times that you feel out of balance and you create ways of getting back in balance. And that's where your stories come from.
Well, I've done like 1,000 things in my life.
Sure.
Some of them very, very well, and some of them not so well. In like what you're saying, in that quest to achieve balance.
That's right.
I understand
that. That's right, yeah.
And I've done many, 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 many things, Armand.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done 1,000,000 things.
Yeah, I believe.
I mean, I was like a Renaissance man in my high school. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not being grandiose.
Okay, but I don't want you to fill it up. I don't want you to fill it up. What I want to do is show you something now, okay?
Okay, sure. All right, go ahead and tell me.
Right this second, if you are with me, it takes nothing more for you and me right this minute to find that balance I'm talking about. Now watch. I'm going to take you there. All right? Go with me.
Yes.
What I want you to do is just breathe in only through your nose.
I'm doing it.
Out through your nose. Now breathe in and out only through your nose. It's hard to do. Keep doing it a little more. ask you to do this without speaking. It's very hard. If you need a gulp of air, take a gulp of air. Now, as you do this, you can seriously even feel your state of mind shifting. See, it shifts. That's just by air. That's by quiet. Now try exhaling all the way through your mouth. And again, probably, Kelly, you could feel the speed that you were going through. You could feel it lowering. Because I'm purposely using my voice as well to bring you in balance. Can you feel this? Now you can answer.
Yeah, it does work. It does.
Okay. See, now somebody like me who understands this can be with you and talk to you about this. But these other guys who have no knowledge of this, they just have their pads, their pencils, their prescriptions. They don't know how to handle people. They don't understand this rhythm that's going on. They drive you crazy because they're talking at you.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm sorry.
I agree.
They talk at me too. If I go to a doctor, I get the same thing. Sometimes it makes me cry saying, boy, if only you could see what you're dealing with. But we try our best. Now, you're the kind of man that if somebody comes to you, they get a gift because you could give them your full attention.
Yes, I can do that.
I know you can.
Very able to do that.
I know you can. Kelly, thanks for calling in. I got to take other calls. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you so much, Armand.
Sure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You have a good day. Bye-bye.
2-7-5-7-3-5-5-5. I wanted to show you how specifically it works. So what's the magic in here? Somebody said to me the other day, somebody from Ireland said, it's your voice. It's your voice, Armand. You know, it's not my voice. It's your pacing. It's not my pacing. It's my understanding. And I am going to listen to you guys, and I'm going to respond to you and your energy. And that's what you hear. And that's what you hear a lot on the phone when we do these phone calls. In fact, we have another phone call right now. Diane. Hi, Diane. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hello, Diane.
So I'm really, really interested in what you're talking about for two sides of the same reason. I actually called in a few months ago and told you that I was dating somebody who had an anxiety issue, and they get anxious and break up with me. And I've been thinking a lot about, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And it's caused me to make up a story to try to balance myself, I think. But I think maybe his anxiety might have been the same kind of thing. Like, he told himself there was something wrong with the relationship, because then maybe he had felt comfortable saying that instead of saying there was something else that he might have been anxious about. But
actually, no, it could be because he didn't know anything else to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't know what else to say. You say, well, where's the danger? Where's the danger? Where's the danger? Oh, it must be this. And if you say it must be this and it sticks, then you believe it's true.
Yeah, because I found out that he did this with other relationships too. And I was like, well, if the problem is in the relationship, then work it out. If the problem is being tense in a relationship, then you can't work on it if you're not in a relationship. But anyway,
yeah, but when are you,
I wanted to focus on me.
I was going to ask you this. When are you going to start going out with grown-ups?
Well, my friend who's listening is going to be...
When are you going to start going out with grown-ups? When are you going to start...
I really did. He seemed very responsible.
Well, you see, now this is what the mind does. The mind will go and be nervous, and you say, where's the danger, where's the danger, where's the danger? There's a guy. Okay, now that guy, he looks all grown up because he's wearing a suit and a tie and he's responsible. But anybody else looking at him would say, yeah, but he's a little boy. He's just a child looking for a mommy. Now,
I
that's nothing wrong.
In that, though. I think that's a... I didn't have a great relationship, don't have a great relationship with my mom, and always wanted a family unit that functioned the way that I thought would be more loving and understanding. And I think I look for people maybe to mother a little bit, even though I
that's
really
right.
need to
that's right.
take
but,
better care of myself.
But listen, here's the idea. The idea is mothering is all you know. Mothering is the only thing you know how to find yourself in balance. And mothering doesn't exist because you are no longer part of that family. You're no longer a child. You're never going to find it. And it doesn't matter. It only mattered when you were little. It doesn't matter now. You don't have to find a family. You don't have to be mothered. You don't have to mother anybody. Right now, you just got to be. But right now,
I'm trying to learn how to do.
I know.
To pay more attention and take better care of myself. So, is it bad to mother myself?
Well, you don't have to use the word mother. You say, is it bad to take care of myself? No. But if you put the word mother in there, it becomes loaded.
What would be the difference? How would it manifest itself?
If you're taking care of yourself, you're being kind to yourself. You're not putting yourself in trouble. You're not beating yourself over the head. You're not criticizing yourself. If you're mothering yourself, you're pampering.
That's actually why I called. Yeah. I wanted to say the other side of this, not on his side, but on my side, there's kind of a story that came to my attention that was in my mind through a dream, and I thought it was pretty significant.
And it's not, but go ahead, tell me the dream anyway.
Okay.
Go ahead, tell me the story. I'd love it.
I had this dream that there was this actual person that I know who's a kid who helps me out with chores around the house, and he was accompanying me through a store, and we were picking up stuff. There was a terrible storm raging outside, and the place was a madhouse, and we couldn't get out through the exit. And the exit kept getting narrower and narrower, and all these people were crushing, and we couldn't get out. So I said, let's go out through the entrance. And when I tried to go out through the entrance, I was told by some people, I stopped and said, you're not allowed to do that. I was like, there's all these doors where people could get out, and you're not letting them out, and this isn't right. And I was angry that they wouldn't change their rule to reflect the reality, you know. And one of my friends said that it meant that I think the rules don't apply to me.
Okay, but let's go back for a minute and let's tell the way I see the story. You're in the middle of the night and you're sleeping, and your amygdala goes a little funny. It's now setting off activity. It's saying, where's the danger? Where's the danger? Where's the danger? Oh, think about Billy, the boy who helps me out. Oh, let's say we're at a store. Okay, now you're at a store and you're getting a little anxiety to match the anxiety that you're feeling. Now they're coming up together. They're coming up together, and you go, the hum is when they match. So now when the worry matches the activity, it starts to hum and equilibrium builds. So you create the story even more. We got to go out the back exit. We got to go out the back exit. Right? There's too many people. There's too many people. And the anxiety is growing, and you're feeling the buzz, and the anxiety is going, and the two of you are getting together. Hum. And the hum is when they match. And then finally, I'm going to go out the front door, and there's somebody standing up at the front door saying, you can't go out this way, and you get angry. And now anger helps you deal with that energy that's inside of you. Now anger is going to take place over this helplessness and fear that you feel. And now you're angry as well, and they all explode together. Boom! And you say, wow, what a significant story.
I understand. I've had other dreams that didn't necessarily meet. I understand that you're saying it feels significant, but
just because it feels real, it isn't.
You could have a 20 stories, and there are different things that could.
That's right.
Touch different personalities, but there was. I'm a creative person, and I think that when things force you to look at something in a different way, and that's one of the things your show does, is there are so many, you know, our human psyches are operating on so many different levels at once, you know, and I think it's good to think about, well, does this apply? And actually, my therapist had a different take on the story.
Sure. Okay. Don't tell me what your therapist thought, because the story is just a story.
Yeah.
And they're all just stories, and none of them are really more significant than any others. We like to believe they are because we're romantic, because that's the way we are.
Well, I'm not saying I believe that all my dreams tell me something I need to know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it made me think about something on a certain level.
Sure.
And in this particular case, it seemed useful.
Good. And I'm saying, yes, it probably is useful. I have seen creative things. I sat the other day in a room with two guys who were 25 years old, both of whom sold their companies to Google for $1.5 billion. I couldn't believe I sat in a room with these two guys who are now worth $1.5 billion from having sold their company to Google. I tried to get them to donate to BAI. They wouldn't hear it. So, but, you know, their life stopped at 25.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, I said, what are you doing with your life nowadays? And they say, well, waiting for the next idea. See, they're waiting to get that activity back so they can get the next idea so that kind of matches the thing. I understand. Everybody does this. But to me, it's all a figment. To me, it's like, I am a therapist, yes. People come to me for treatment, yes. I help them sort out things, yes. But I do it knowing underneath none of it is true. And so do you know it. I got to get going, Diane. We got other people who are chopping at the bit.
I don't really understand
this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay,
you know what you do? Hit the replay button.
Okay.
Go back and listen to me again. I love you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I know. It's very hard because, you know, we're supposed to talk in these psychological facts. 212-757-3555. We're giving you ideas that there are stories that are real. Yes, you were beaten as a child. Yes, you suffered wounds of that. But why does it keep coming back? Why does it keep coming back at you? Why do you keep remembering? Why does it hamper your life over and over again? And I say it's because of the way that the story is used to find an equilibrium in some kind of an upset, nervous marketplace. Take another call. Hold on a second. Rick Miles. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Rick. Good, good, good.
Good. I just needed to say thank you. I spoke to you a couple months back, and your advice was just absolutely amazing and spot on.
Tell me what we did.
I don't even know if you'll remember, but I was the fella that spoke to you about his ex-wife who I had taken care of. We were married 24 years. And son, she took off with a friend of mine after I'd had surgery and my mother passed away and all that. And
I remember now.
You, huh?
I remember.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you gave me some insight on, you know, being a caretaker and everything. And it really, really opened up my thought processes and my ability to get through, work through all of the issues that I was having with the breakup.
In what way?
Oh, goodness. Just understanding, like you had said to me, that when you take care of someone, they also have the choice in the relationship to realize that they're no longer needed to be taken care of. You know, and if they decide to go on with life, then they go on with life. And I was kind of stuck going, why are these people doing this to me? You know, how could this happen when all I did was care? And it helped relieve, I guess, the sadness, the bitterness, you know, frustration, you know, all the things that are negative.
You sound like you're doing really well for yourself now, Rick.
Yeah, I can't even begin to say thank you enough. And, yeah, I don't know, that light at the end of the tunnel they always say is coming, you can see it. It always seemed like a million miles away, but it just that advice just got me so much closer, so much faster, and then through.
Good for you, Rick. I'm so glad.
Yeah, I can't say thank you enough.
Sure, sure. Thank you, thank you, thank you. One of the things you can, yeah, one of the things you can do, my friends, and I know I hate to use it as a thing, but you could always become a buddy to WBAI.
Oh, absolutely.
And mention the positive mind as part of the reason why you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've got listeners all over the world. I have someone listening in Ireland right this second.
Wow.
As we speak.
I'm just so glad I was able to get through. I didn't think I would be able to.
It's magic.
Thanks.
It's magic. It's a new phone number, and it's the work of Julian Joiello, the magician, who put this together.
Sure, magician.
How do you like the phone number, Julian? How do you like having a new phone number?
It's nice to have these everybody calling in. It's fantastic.
Man, it works this time.
Yeah, it does. It does. That is
it's
a good feeling.
It's taken us quite a while. Okay, my friends. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Diane.
Yeah. Thank you again, Ramon.
And Kelly.
Oh, also, one other thing. You know a young lady. I went to school with her. She calls you quite often. Jana is her name.
Oh, I know Jana. Sure.
She actually, we had talked. We met in the parking lot just out of the blue. And she suggested that I call you, and I said, I listen to him all the time.
Oh,
and then
far
shortly out. After I spoke to her is when I called you, and then you gave me the advice that was just amazing.
Oh, she's such a wonderful human. She worked for me for a while.
No way.
Yes, yes, yes. And she's a student, and she's a terrific human being.
Yeah, she was in high school. She just had this countenance, this inner peace about her. It was just different than anybody we went to school with, you know?
That's Jana. That's her.
Yeah.
Among the people I'm lucky to have known in my life.
I can say the same thing. I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay, so thank you, Rick. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Jana. Thank you, Dane Braz and Vika Lavina. And thank you, John. And thank you, Carol. And thank you, Julian. And thank you, Ben Starr, who's not with us today, but will be back. And thank you, Gary Null. And thank you, WBAI. And this beautiful station and all you people around the world who tune into the positive mind, and to our engineer.
Thank you. Thank you, Armand, for being back, and looking forward to more.
Yeah. We'll be back with you. You can send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. armand@thepositivemind.com. And we'll do more stuff tomorrow, following through on this subject. Bye-bye for now, my friends.